Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amsumam, Text Number 46. Ye vikship tendriya diyo, devaste sva ridhisthitam, nirvindanti priyam shasvad, Atmanam kim utarpare. Yea, which personalities? Vikshipta indriya diya, whose senses, mind, and intelligence are always agitated because of material conditions. Deva, like the demigods, te, such persons, svaridi, in the core of the heart, sthitam, situated, na, not, vindanti, no, priyam, the dearmost personality of Godhead. Shasvat, constantly, eternally. Atmanam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kim Uta, what to speak of. Apare, others like human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? Purport. It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarabhutanam riddeshe arjanatishtate. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although He is situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yoga process is recommended, so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashanti yam yogina. Because in material conditions, the mind and senses are always agitated by the yogic procedures like dharana, asana, and dhyana. One must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yogic process is the material attempt to realize the Lord, whereas bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which to realize Him. Maharaj Kadvanga accepted the spiritual path, and therefore he was no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati. Only by devotional service can I be understood. One can understand Krishna, the Param Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand Him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Anya Bilasita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhiravritam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Even though the demigods have advantages of being situated in the higher planetary systems, Their mind, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? According to Bhagavad Gita, everyone is looking for peace. Because after all, one who identifies himself with his body, or the mind, or the false ego, or one's material conceptions of life, will always be agitated because this body is temporary. And therefore, whatever we're working for in the material world in order to maintain the body becomes a failure because we die. We may survive today. At least we should survive until the Janmashtami feast. But there's no guarantee we can even make it that far. And what to speak of beyond. But this is what everyone is interested in, because Pariksit Maharaj was speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami mentions that when Pariksit Maharaj asks, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? So that's our greatest concern, is that we're going to die. And the symptom, before we die, we grow old. So everyone is concerned, I'm growing old. Is there some possibility I might die in the future if I get too old? So we don't want to grow old because we're afraid of dying. We wouldn't mind it so old if I could be 35 forever. Better 20. But anyhow. Can't be 20, at least 35. What about 90? Well, I don't know about 90. So everyone is worried about that. And therefore, they're asking questions, how to preserve this body, basically. Where can I get money? Where I can get something to eat? Who's a good doctor? What's a good exercise? So everyone is interested in these things, and according to Shukadeva Goswami, they're asking hundreds and thousands of questions. Not only human beings, but even the birds are asking questions, where the worm is, because even they're afraid of dying. Have you seen any eagles around here? Look out, he's behind you. Oh, thank you. So even the birds are asking questions. But what are the questions all about? Nidriya riyate naktam, vavayena vavaya, divya charteya rajan katumba baranena va. During the day, people are wondering, how can I sleep? And is there any sex life available in some way? Nidraya means sleeping. Nidra riyate naktam. At night, people are sleeping. Most fortunate people sleep at night. But even nowadays, you have to go and take classes at how to sleep. Now, any dog, although it's not uneducated, has never been to college, knows how to sleep. But now they have people in their PhD sleep degrees. And they probably pass the course if they sleep during the class. Nidra rite naktam, vavavayena javavaya. And sex life, that's the culmination of all existence. And for that, divya charteha rajan, then the day one has to work. So to get the things we need. And even if we're austere, at least we need some place to, something to cover ourselves with. So we have to work at least to do that. Just to put on our clothes in the morning takes some work. And for that, kundumba varaninava, one has to go out and what is one, kundumba baraninava, one is trying to maintain the family and oneself. And even if one doesn't have a family, usually one has a dog or a parakeet or something, one is trying to maintain. But what is it all for? What is all this glorious activity meant for? All this society with all the cars going back and forth all the time, Instagram, all this internet. What is the whole conversation? What is it all about? All this endeavor. Sukadeva Goswami summarizes Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanyeshva Satsubhi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashana Pina Pashati. Basically speaking, we're just trying to stop from dying. That's all. So everyone is working hard to prevent themselves from dying. They get exalted positions as presidents or queens or kings, but they die anyhow. Doesn't matter who you are. Sorry for the bad news. We're not trying to upset anyone. Deha, the body, apatya, the children, and Kalatra, the wife. And if you have children, you have a wife, you're probably going to have other things too, like a house, money, pumsa, striya, is that the right one? Pumsa, striya, maituna, bhavani, tantra, iva, granti mahu, ato, griha, kshetra, sutapti, vitera. Wealth and land and everything else. You need these things to properly maintain your family. But what do we want them? Atma sanyeshva satsupi, so that they'll be our soldiers. They'll protect us from death. They'll bring me to the hospital or whatever. But Atma sanyeshva asatsupi, they're infallible. They can't protect themselves. They themselves are going to die. So how are they going to protect me from death? Brahma couldn't protect his great devotee, Hiranyakashipu, from death. He couldn't protect himself from death. Brahma, who created the whole universe, can't protect himself from death. So who in this universe is so powerful they're going to protect themselves from death? So we have a plan, we have a project of survival, but it's going to be a failure. This is really depressing class, isn't it? Pashana pina pashana. Although they see, they can't see. So the question is, our minds are agitated, we're fearful all the time. You know, if I open the door, will there be the boogeyman behind the door? It's too dark. So everyone is fearful all the time. What is this person thinking? You know, he doesn't look like he's smiling at me. Maybe he has an ill intention. We're always fearful about everything. I'm eating this, what's in it? What's in the air? What's in the water? What's in people's minds? Therefore, everyone is trying to get out of the miseries of material existence. But there are means of getting out of the means of the miseries of material existence have been proven to be a failure, even temporarily. Vatirna Krishne Parataksatova Mitobi Padyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobira Vishatam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvata Charvananam. It's been a failure because they don't put their consciousness, Vatirna Krishne, they don't put their consciousness in Krishna. And only Krishna is peaceful. Only Krishna can be peaceful because he's in charge of everything. If you're in charge of everything, if you're controlling everything, you don't have to worry about everything that's going on because you're controlling it. Anything goes wrong, it's your fault. Can't blame anyone else. So Krishna is in control of everything, and Krishna is all good, and therefore one who takes shelter of Krishna and realizes that Krishna is in control of everything, then he becomes peaceful because he knows whatever's happening is for my good and for everyone else's good. Therefore, when the sages were talking about who is actually the supreme, there was a meeting of sages and they were inquiring who is actually God, who is actually the person we're supposed to take shelter of. So they appointed Bhrigu Muni to go and ascertain who actually is the supreme, who is worthy of being taken shelter of. So Bhrigu Muni went to his father and Satyadweep, and Brahmaloka, his father is Lord Brahma, and Lord he saw Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma, oh, my son, you've come home, it's been so long. But immediately Bhrigamuni completely ignored Brahma, didn't pay him any respect, didn't bow down before him. So Brahma said, oh, what a rascal. My son's a rascal, and he became angry. But Brahma's great intelligence checked his anger. Because his intelligence was compared to water, and his anger was compared to fire. So his great intelligence checked his anger. So we can also do that also. We usually get frustrated during the day a little bit too. If you have never noticed, unless you're a perfect devotee, you're never agitated. But we use our intelligence to cool our anger down, our frustration. So Brahma's anger was cooled down, but Bhrigamuni didn't wait around to find out what the next step Brahma was going to do. So he left, and he went to Kailash, Mount Kailash, where his brother Shiva lives. And there Shiva said, oh, brother Bhrigu, so nice to see you. And he came to embrace Bhrigu. Brah, stop, you dirty rascal. You're covered with ashes, you know, you're ghostly haunted. Don't touch me, I'm a Brahmin. So Lord Shiva became very disturbed. Hearing this insult, took up his trident and said, oh, you don't like me, maybe you'll like my trident. But Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, paid her obeisances before Lord Shiva, begging for Bhrigamuni's, for mercy for Bhrigamuni. And Lord Shiva checked his anger, and Bhrigamuni left. He went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu is residing. And there he crashed into the palace where Lord Vishnu is. And Lord Vishnu is lying on a bed, and Lakshmi Devi was massaging his lotus feet. And Bhrigamuni simply went up to Lord Vishnu and kicked him in the chest. Imagine you're lying down, and someone kind of just opens your door, knocks it down, comes and kicks you in the chest. What will you think? But what did Vishnu do? What did Vishnu? He got down from his bed, and he paid obeisances to Bhrigamuni, and put Bhrigamuni on his bed and started to massage his foot. Say, my dear Bhrigamuni, please forgive my offense. I didn't realize you were here. I would have greeted you properly, but unfortunately your lotus-like foot has touched my thunderbolt-like chest, so please let me massage it. Perhaps you feel some pain. And then Lord Vishnu said, my dear Bhrigamuni, please stay in this Vaikuntha planet and purify it, because you're a Brahmin. So Bhrigamuni was quite surprised that anyone, you know, after being kicked in the chest, which was like the greatest offense, by his disrespecting Lord Brahma, then Lord Brahma, that's an offense within the mind. But by criticizing Lord Shiva verbally, that's offense with words. But the worst offense is a corporal offense, kicking Lord Vishnu. And yet Lord Vishnu was completely undisturbed. Instead, he remained affectionate towards Bhrigamuni and rendered service to him. So therefore, Bhrigamuni concluded that obviously the best person to take shelter must be Lord Vishnu, because he remains undisturbed under any circumstances. So this is the aim of life, to remain undisturbed even at the time of death, that we can actually think of Krishna. Now there's the process of Ashtanga Yoga, Asana, well actually the verb Dhyana, actually, not damn. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. One can take this mechanical process, but it's not a very easy process. For us, we don't take it very seriously because we're not going to follow the process. If I ask, what are the five different types of yamas? Can anyone tell us? Anyone know what the five types of yamas are? What about niyamas? Do you know? Can you name one?
You mean Neil?
Any one of them. There's 10 of them. Yama, Niyama. We don't... Things like, one of them is ahimsa, nonviolence, socham, cleanliness. Good guess, though. Ishvara Pradhana, worship of the Supreme, detachment, I said truthfulness, nonviolence. Anyway, I can't remember them either. What's that? Yeah, brahmacharya is one, celibacy. So these are yama, niyama, asana, but asana is not the aim of the yoga system. The aim of the yoga system is samadhi. Always think about Lord Vishnu within the heart, but that's not possible. In this age, at least. It took Kardama Muni and Satyuga 10,000 years, and we're not going to live for 100 years. So how are we going to accomplish this yoga system? And even if we do it life after life, eventually, if it took 10,000 years, then by the time we perfected it, it would be the end of Kali Yuga, the end of the Golden Age. We'd be sitting there in meditation and people would come and eat us before we actually attain perfection. Therefore, what's recommended is the Bhakti Yoga system, focusing the mind upon Krishna. But what's the problem? The problem is we have so many material desires. So many things are going through our mind that we're attached to. And therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, Nanu Ragaha, we don't have any attachment for the chanting. We're too busy meditating upon my desires when I chant Hare Krishna. Now, ordinarily, during the spring or during the winter, they clean their floor and they sweep all the dust underneath the carpet. Too lazy to use the dustpan. But when the spring cleaning comes and lift up the carpet, all the dust starts flying. So they start thinking, well, I'm trying to clean, but it's getting dustier. Because all the dust was already there. It's just become aware of it in spring when you pick up the rug. Similarly, our minds are full of all kinds of anxiety due to our attachment to material desires. And therefore, when we start chanting Hare Krishna, all these ideas come to our mind. We wake up a little bit. Generally, we're even more asleep than we are when we chant Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we try to do it offenselessly at least, then all this dust comes up and we become bewildered. I'm chanting, and yet my mind is more agitated. Maybe I should stop chanting and go back to sleep. I'll feel better. And what is the root cause? Trinada pisanichena traivasa hishana amanina amadidinena kirtina sadahari. I'm not humble. I'm not tolerant. I want respect for myself, but I really don't want to respect anyone else. And therefore, the whole world seems to be against me. There's so many obstacles for my happiness. The threefold miseries, the fourfold miseries, I can't tolerate them. I'm not humble because people are not giving me the respect I demand, or I think I deserve. I think I have all the good qualities, and if anyone else has a good quality, it comes from me. And nadanamna janamna sundarim. And therefore I'm hankering to increase my prestige with wealth and followers, etc., etc. And therefore I can't chant Hare Krishna peacefully. There's too many things to accomplish in order to fulfill my material desires. But luckily, if we chant Hare Krishna, we try to concentrate our minds upon Krishna and become a little aloof from our material desires, then Krishna will actually fulfill them. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he was trying to meditate upon Krishna. He gave up material desires by giving up eating. Stopped for the first month. He only ate Kapitas fruit every third day. And then for the second month, he only ate leaves that fell from the trees every sixth day. And then he drank a little water every ninth day. Then he only took the next month, successive months. He became more and more austere. And then finally, when he gave up all eating and breathing and just meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu within his heart, then Krishna gave him not only a Vaikuntha planet, but he gave him everything he desired, a planet bigger, greater than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. He fulfilled his desire, but not until he gave up his material desires. But when he gave up his material desires, then Krishna fulfilled his material desires. So that's the amazing thing. We have a whole list of desires, but actually as we give them up, then Krishna will provide them for us. Because Krishna doesn't want us. He doesn't want to be our order supplier. That he fulfills our desires only so we ask for more and more and more and get more and more entangled in the material world. That's for the demigods. Those who want more and more in the material world, they approach the demigods. Kamasthaistaya ridigana prapadyante nadevata tam tam niyamam astaya prakritis niyatapsvaya. They have material desires and Krishna fulfills those desires through the demigods. But yo yam 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 tunam bhakta shari arshidyam ichami tasyam tasyacharam sharam tam eva viridanyaham. I'm in everyone's heart as a super soul, and I make his faith strong so he can actually worship a particular demigod. The only problem is, antavanta kletesham tadbhava yopamedasam. Deva, deva yajayanti, madbhakta yanti mamapi. Those who worship the demigods, their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, and my devotees go to my supreme abode. So if we want to fulfill our desires, we can pray the demigods. And they may fulfill our desire, and then we'll get tired. We'll go back to the demigod and ask for another benediction. Like that man who he went to the goddess Durga and said, "My dear goddess Durga, please give me my benediction." So goddess Durga said, "What will you give me?" So he said, I'll give you a 100,000 euros. So be it. Your benediction. Next week comes back and says, "Dear Goddess Durga, please give me your benediction." She said, "Well, where's 100,000 euros? You promised." "Oh, you know, I don't have that much money." "So what are you going to give me?" "I'll give you a goat." "Okay, so be it. Tadastu." So next week he comes back and says, "My dear Goddess Durga, please give me another benediction." She said, "Well, where's the goat?" He said, "Oh, goats, the price went up. I can't afford a goat either." She said, "All right, I'll give you a benediction, but at least give me a fly." She says, "No problem. There's so many flies in this room. Just catch one of them." So those who have material desires, they approach the demigods, and they try to get what they want, and when they get their desire fulfilled, then they approach again, and again, and again, and never is their desire fulfilled. Therefore, nashti buddhiya yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, na chabhavin tak shantir, aishantasya kutak sukham. That one who's not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So our first business is to become peaceful through Krishna consciousness, through understanding things properly. And if we understand things properly and work properly, then our minds will become peaceful. We'll have faith that Krishna will give me what I need. Ananyas chantiyandomam, ye jana paripasate, tesham nityabhyuktanam, yoga shemam vaham yaham. If I take out from my mind all this unnecessary anxiety, claiming that, thinking I'm the controller, that I'm going to provide what I lack and preserve what I have. If we put Krishna there instead and we rely upon him, then he'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have. And if we're in anxiety, then we're just an illusion. We're thinking Krishna is not so great, he can actually fulfill my desires. And therefore we're just in anxiety instead of relying upon Krishna and leaving it up to him to fulfill the desires that actually are useful for our devotional service, useful for our benefit, because he knows everything and he knows what's best for us. So leave it up to him to make the arrangements. And he will make the arrangements because he's very kind. He's the Surida Sarabhutana. He's the friend of everyone. He can fulfill all our desires, material desires, but he'll only do those that will actually, he'll fulfill the desire in such a way we won't come back and ask for more and more from him. We'll become Swaramo Kitato Smi Yacharit. I'm completely satisfied now. Guru Maharaj said, I was looking for some broken pieces of glass. Now I've gotten a diamond like you. So we'll get Krishna, and Krishna will also provide what we actually need, what's actually good for us. That faith we have to have. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I have a couple of questions. The first one, you mentioned that if we have material desires, we should approach the demigods.
I didn't say that. Wait a second. I never said we should. Akama sarvakarma va mokshakama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapura. Whether you're full of desires or have no desires, or you desire liberation, that you should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I do remember that you said that it's better to approach the demigods if you want something material.
No, if you want unlimited material things. Just like when Lord Vrikasura, he asked Narada Muni, who can fulfill my benediction that I want? Who can give me what I want? So Narada Muni suggested you approach Lord Shiva, because Narada Muni knew Vrikasura wanted something which Vishnu would never give him, and probably even Brahma would be reluctant to give him. But Lord Shiva is Asutos. He can fulfill whatever, he easily fulfills desires just to get rid of his worshiper, who doesn't get bothered by him. So if we want something other than devotional service or even what's good for us, if we approach Lord Krishna, then he'll give us what we actually need, what's actually good for us. He's not going to give us things that are going to be detrimental to us or detrimental to others.
So in the end, if you want something and it's not, maybe, we don't know if it's good for us or not, then it's still better to approach the demigods, because they will give even if it's not good for us. If we really want it.
If you're really a fool.
Yes.
You're completely foolish, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to go to hell by the mercy of the demigods. But hopefully we have better to chant a few rounds to get back our intelligence before we do it.
Second question would be about this yoga process.
Besides that, to worship the demigods is not so easy. So therefore it requires some, you know, austerity, some charity, some penance, even to worship the demigods. Vrikasura didn't just go and worship Lord Shiva. He cut the flesh from his body and threw it into the fire. Because he was a foolish demon. Because he didn't know how to worship Lord Shiva. Therefore he went through so much trouble. And at the end he touched his own head and got it cracked in thousands of pieces. So, anyhow, yes.
Second question would be about these yoga processes that are not really helping us too much. Are they or not? Because I see that we use them because they are a fad these days. And even us in ISKCON, we use them to attract people. So is this a right approach or not?
I don't know.
Because after that we tell them that by yoga you cannot get anywhere, but we do use these
processes.
No,
we don't say you can't get anywhere. You can get your toe closer
not,
to your
not
nose.
Not to understand Krishna. Not getting anywhere in the
I mean,
understanding
people,
Krishna.
It's like if a foolish child is running around doing mischief, and you tell him, stand in the corner. He's not accomplishing very much, but at least he's not doing mischief. So these hatha yoga, whatever it is, at least for that time, they're not smoking and doing other nonsense things. And maybe generally speaking, when they come to these classes, there's some deity of Vishnu there or something, so they get some contact with Krishna. Even Ganesh is there, or Om is there or something. They get some good association.
Thank you.
Anything else? Kala Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.